You are listening to Portobello Talk Radio, the authentic voice of Ladbroke Grove.
Hello and welcome to Season 2 of Great Exchanges. Great Exchanges is a show where we look forward to the Great Exhibition Road Festival, which this year is being held in Exhibition Road on the 15th and 16th of June. Everyone is welcome. And in Great Exchanges, what we do is we look forward to events that are part of the festival, and we meet someone from Imperial College and also a member of the public who has lived experience of the research. And today we're going to be looking at repair culture. Do people repair things? Do people throw them away? Why should we keep things and why should we attempt to repair them? I'm joined by Elliot Latham, a researcher at Imperial. Hello, Elliot.
Hello.
And I'm also joined by Nick Williams from West Central London Fixers.
Hello.
At the festival, Dr. Marco Orosicchio will be talking to Alex Horn from West Central London Fixers, and they will be taking questions from the public. But we're going to start the conversation here. Elliot, tell us a little bit about the work that you are doing at the moment.
Hi, Piers. It's a pleasure to be here. So, yeah, as you kindly said, so I am from the Dyson School of Design Engineering, and I've been working on this project for about sort of 8 or 9 months now, which is slightly crazy. I've been working with Dr. Marco Orosicchio, who is a sustainability professor in the department. And on the project, we've basically been looking into specifically electronic and electrical repair. So the project, we're working with lots of sort of London organisations, so London Borough of Barnet, London Borough of Hammersmith and Fulham, and then re-London, London Office of Technology and Innovation, London Councils. So quite a long list of exciting partners getting involved. But we sit within the One World Living programme, which basically is a collection of different London boroughs that are interested in reducing London's consumption emissions. They set up this programme, I think it was 2019, to really try and combat climate change at the source. And this project, we're funded by the Mayor of London's Challenge London. And what I am, I'm the project researcher, so I'm doing a lot more of the technical day-to-day work, so a lot of the data analysis and a lot of the so things like the literature review I was involved with. And Marco is the associate professor who sits above and helps with a lot more of the guiding and overall work for the project. What we're trying to understand in this project is sort of, yeah, why people don't repair their electronic and electrical products, as well as what enablers and motivates people to join in with repairing their electricals and electronics.
Nick, you work with West Central London Fixers. Have you discovered that people are coming round to the idea of repairing things, whether it's because they've been persuaded by the green environmental arguments, or is it a question of there being a cost of living crisis?
People bring items to us to be repaired because they don't see any other way of actually doing it. Because in this area, I grew up in this area, we used to have a number of repair shops in this area. So people could actually take things to be repaired. And now those things have gone and you either buy a new. And so we're getting a lot more people who come to visit us with a vast variety of different things, everything from toasters to laptops.
We're, of course, recording this on the Portobello Road. It's a market on a Friday. And you grew up repairing things.
Yeah, I grew up repairing things due to my dad, who had a friend who used to go off to the police auctions, find things, repair them, and then sell them on. And in this area, it was something which was quite common because of the market. There was a great deal of electrical, old electrical things. So, for instance, when I grew up, I was always interested in reggae and sound systems. So to be able to build your own sound system, not having the money, you used to have to go and build yourself or fix. And all of these stalls down Portobello Road used to always carry lots of old things that you could then repair.
Elliot, you've been looking at the reasons that people do and don't repair things. Nick, obviously, like myself, is from a generation that is used to the idea of repairing things. How did you structure your questions to discover what people thought? And can you tell us what you found out?
Yeah, so as for how we structured the questions, so basically we started off by doing a literature review to try and understand what questions to ask, basically. So we pored over lots of papers and tried to understand a long list of factors for why people do or don't repair their electronic and electrical items. And then what we did from that, we started to design a survey. So this survey, we take the user through and try and understand their thoughts on an actual product case study. So they think back to their laptop breaking, let's say, and then we'd ask them sort of, you know, whether or not they considered repair, and then if they did consider repair, moving forwards to whether they actually moved forwards with that repair job. So that could be a repair cafe like Nick comes from, for example, or that could be a home repair, doing things at home with your toolkit, or that could be, you know, going to a repair shop and paying for it professionally. And then from this survey, we then try to understand how much each of these factors impacted. So we were asking sort of overall questions like, how much did you care about the environment, or how positive were your previous repair experiences, and various sort of, you know, how much did you believe repair would cost, things like that, which we then, yeah, we did a lot of data analysis work on that, trying to understand which of these factors best predicted basically whether someone would actually move forwards with repair in these routes. And yeah, as for the results, so we're still doing a lot of the sort of data analysis work at the moment. But yeah, some very, very interesting things, such as people are more likely to consider moving forwards with electronic products. So that could be laptops, phones, things that might be a bit more expensive, have a bit more meaning to people, rather than things like toasters, kettles, let's say. But yeah, lots of other exciting results coming through.
I was at the Fix It Festival round the corner from here at the Kensington Leisure Centre on Saturday, where I met Nick, in fact. And there was a gentleman there called Luke, who was in the cafe because he wanted to get the data back from a laptop that had broken down.
Yeah, it would have been for my university days. And I've had it ever since. It's got slower and slower as time's gone on. And for the last 6 months or so, it's just not loaded. There's been not flashing, but a dead light on the side whenever I try to turn it on or charge it. And I should have got around to trying to fix it sooner or getting a new laptop, I suppose. Really, I suppose my reason for wanting to repair this one rather than get a new one is that I want to retrieve the data that's on it. And it seems a bit of a waste to throw away what seems to be a functioning laptop in other areas. It might be a simple fix. And he seems to be going about it at the minute. I think he's trying to get the data off at the minute, and then we'll maybe look at making the laptop itself work afterwards.
Is it something that you are used to doing, getting things repaired? Would you normally throw this away and just buy a new one?
I was looking at buying a new one, but then that wouldn't solve the problem of retrieving the data on it. So I suppose that was the main reason. But then I came across, I think it was a flyer from West Central London Fixers that come through the door. I live between Shepherd's Bush and Acton Vale. Seen the flyer, it was a couple of months back, and they're doing free sessions to get things fixed. It seems silly not to come along and at least try and get it fixed. Yeah, seems sensible.
What's your experience, Nick, at the repair cafes? Do you find that it's mainly the electronics that people are interested in, or do people come to the repair cafes with kettles and toasters and, you mentioned, coffee grinders before?
We've had sessions in the past where people have just brought laptops, complete laptops. Every single session is for a laptop. And then we have another session where it's coffee grinders and food processors and electric sanders. So it's mainly small electrical items. I mean, we have had people who have brought us tumble dryers.
Wow.
Carried them all the way to the Hanwell Community Centre, which is one of the places where we go, and ask us if we can fix their tumble dryer.
Do you say yes?
Well, part of what we do is, a lot of what we do is advice. And so we tell the people what the issue is, and we then show them a YouTube video on how to fix it, or we offer to them to then come back. But we help them by finding the spare part that they need. Because that, for most people, is the biggest issue with repair, is I could actually do it myself if I could actually find the right particle. And sometimes the advice we have to give to people is that actually, for instance, with toasters, you can get everything for a toaster, like the heater, the various other bits, but one thing you can't get is the little electrical switch inside that holds the toaster down. It's the one thing they don't sell. Even for the really biggest brands, you can't actually get them. So we have to actually say to people, sorry, this is unrepairable.
Elliot, one of the things that would put me off repairing things is fear of electricity, in fact, and fear that I'll be thrown across the room by touching the wrong part. Was that something that came up at all in your research?
Yeah, that was something that we had noticed, potentially. I think the really, really big takeaway, to be honest, from this work is just the sheer diversity in different people's experiences. So you might have people like me that I'm a little bit more confident in a workshop, but then you've got people that really wouldn't have any idea, that group of people that wouldn't even really consider repair to begin with, because, yeah, a bit of fear, attitudes negative, maybe they've not heard of a service nearby them. A whole host of reasons. And as I mentioned before, we had that really long list of factors which encompassed a huge range of things. And again, it depends on the product type. So you mentioned sort of a lot of people bringing things into the repair cafe that, you know, people will literally can bring in anything. And it really depends on that huge list.
Nick, do you find that people are motivated by the environmental issues? I mean, obviously, things like laptops have got a lot of rare earth items in them, rare metals, quite expensive ones. You know, there are wars going on all through the world to control the source of some of these rare metals. Do people come to you motivated by money, or is some of it down to the environmental factors?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's the cost of living crisis. I think, as you said, with laptops, it's about saving data, whereas with small electrical items, it's actually about the cost of living crisis and people actually not wanting to have to buy a new item. And a lot of people say to us that they have sentimental value, that this was given to me as a wedding present, or this toaster was my mum's. Or, for instance, a lady came to three of our sessions to have a Christmas tree display fixed that was probably a £10 in, you know, IKEA, you know, years ago. But because her mother had given it to her, she wanted it for us to repair. So we had to advise her on the components to buy, and we managed to then get it fixed for her so she could use it last Christmas.
Well, that's a really sweet story. Elliot, did you find in your research, I know you haven't been able to get right to the end and publish it yet, but did you find in your research that the green issue, the environmental issue, looms large in people's thoughts when they're thinking about repair?
Yeah, that's something that, I mean, yeah, as I said before, there's just such a huge range of things, but that's something that will definitely play a big aspect. There's one thing in the survey that we did. So, as I mentioned before, we did this sort of predictive thing to see which one of these factors predicted the best. But then also at the end of the survey, we asked for the individual to actually say which were the top five things that they thought were most important to them. And a lot of times, so environmental care, I think, was mentioned a decent amount, for example, in that list, whereas actually potentially what predicted was the best was slightly more sort of individual factors around you know how positive people's attitude was, and how much sort of knowledge potentially people had on where to find places, let's say, or actual knowledge on doing repair work. So yeah, there was a huge, and it depends whether you're looking professional repair. So professional repair, I'm just thinking, I think people might be less likely to think about environmental issues, but places like the Fixer Repair Cafe organisations, you might get people that are really, really passionate about the environment and just, yeah, want to save resources being wasted, which in my opinion is a really, really good reason why you might want to get involved.
Do you find that more and more people are coming in? The word is spreading?
Yeah, definitely. Last week we did the repair event at the Kensington Sports Centre, and there they had furniture repair, bicycle repair, clothes repair, and electronic repair. And it was really busy. We had all of the different tents had lots of customers. And we could run, we do actually do a lot of training. We do training sessions. So we're always looking for people. If there's anybody out there, if you go on our website, you can come and do a training session with us. And from what I see is that people turn up, and by the end of it, they're repairing laptop screens and resetting memory in computers and replacing hard drives.
Elliot, you mentioned professional repairs. That also covers the warranties and the guarantees that people have on items. Do people actually take advantage of those warranties, or do sometimes people throw things away while they're still under guarantee?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the person. So that you might have people that, you know, I guess people, maybe money is not an issue and they've seen the new exciting iPhone, and, you know, you might be more likely to get rid of your old one because there's a new one and you're not even really thinking about things like warranty. Warranty is obviously very important when something's broken, and it gives you opportunity for people to, go and get their things repaired for a lot cheaper, if not free, when it could cost quite a lot of money. I think there's potentially a lack of knowledge around it, so people just see warranty, but, you know, then they go onto their email and they can't find the proof that they've got this. They don't know how old their product was. They've lost a lot of the information. But yeah, it's definitely something that we've thought about.
And Nick just mentioned bicycles, for instance, clothes and furniture. Is that something that you covered in your research?
It's not. So obviously, as I mentioned before, we're sitting in the One World Living programme. So I don't know exactly what programmes are going on within that. But yeah, different boroughs are interested in particular things. And I'm sure that's a topic that's being covered. But for us, we were just focusing on the electronic and electricals, which I think that, you know, as I've really discovered doing this research, there's so much diversity of reasons that actually just capturing the complexity of electronics and electricals is hard enough. Then introducing a whole host of other reasons. Yeah, the London boroughs and organisations would like to prioritise more effectively, I think.
Nick, you mentioned the fact that people come along and some people choose to get trained, and some people repair their own pieces and some you repair on behalf of other people. There must be a great sense of achievement, actually, if you've come to one of your repair cafes and with a broken item, broken electronic, and you go away having mended it yourself.
Well, yes, for West Central Fixers, one of our key aims is training. So whenever people come to us and we have a repair, it could be something quite simple, a laptop repair, or we involve the person in the actual repair. So the idea is that we try to encourage them we show them what needs to be done, and if people are confident in doing that, we then show them, they then accomplish it. And then they go away with that great sense of fulfilment that actually I've been shown how to do it. And part of what we do is also the safety. So, for instance, we train people. People will bring us in plugs that have you know, bare wires coming out. So we do, safety is a lot of our training. And then people then go away with a great sense that actually I can then move forward and fix things myself. So yes, it's a great feeling for them.
Is that something that came out in your research?
Yeah, I think so. So obviously the findings are still, we're doing a lot of analysis right now, but I think there was a lot of suggestions of the consumer factors for why people want to get involved in things. And that can be both getting repairers involved, because availability of services and professionals is something that's obviously important, but as well on the consumer end, why people would put in that extra effort. And a lot of it is about, I think a lot of it can be about the joy and satisfaction you might get. And just as me, as a person, like, I've been really, really involved with design technology in school, and, you know, now I'm obviously doing engineering at university. So I think there's a bit of a, there's a nice culture around me of fixing things. You know, I was always in the garage, and I had the opportunity that there's a local timber store nearby me that sells fully reused timbers that they would have taken from, like, building sites. And I took an old church pew, for example, that they were going to throw away, and I was fixing, and I made a few sort of timber products out of that. But yeah, if people are particularly interested in sustainability as well, it can have a massive impact, and people can really get a sense of achievement and satisfaction in just getting involved.
Yes, in fact, there's a upcycling company just down the road called Goldfinger that has upcycled all the old Imperial College worktops. There's still two or three of them left if you wanted to get your hands on them. Nick, your West Central London Fixes is very much a grassroots movement. I mean, Alex started it up, and he's, you know, the ball has started rolling, and people like yourself have come on board. Do you think that the people at the top, councils, governments, are they doing enough to support the efforts that you guys are making on the ground?
Well, I know that Kensington and Chelsea, Ealing and Hammersmith and Fulham all put money into fixing events. So there is a little bit of movement from council level. I'm not sure about the movement from national level or government level. I mean, from what I can see in some parts of the world where they have cafes where you can take your broken lamp, and if it's a danger, you can then have it recycled. The cafe then gets an amount of money because it saved somebody's life. And that whole ecosystem is self-sustaining, that you have a cafe which is selling coffee, but it's also getting another source of income, because we really do need spaces to be able to actually be able to give to provide this service.
And what have you found from your research, Elliot, in terms of government action at international level even?
Yeah, I mean, so we've been obviously looking at some of the initiatives around London. So there's some great projects going on, which, you know, I've sort of been thinking recently about the Camden Fix Factory, for example, which I think is quite similar to the repair cafe that you've been working at, Nick. And they've been, you know, doing a lot of training work to get people involved. And obviously my project is, you know, we're sponsored by the Mayor of London from funding level, but we've been working a lot with all sorts of London organisations. So there's definitely a lot of excitement and engagement happening at an, you know, international level. For example, the EU put some legislation in quite recently. I can't remember by what year, but they're going to enforce that phone batteries, you must be able to, anyone with a basic screwdriver must be able to take your phone battery out and replace it. And given, I think I've read that, you know, when it comes to phone repairs, the battery accounts for something like a third of all of the different breaks. That's potentially a huge impact. So there's lots of people getting involved at all sorts of different levels, and I'm quite hopeful about, yeah, the noises we're hearing from these sorts of institutions trying to progress the repair revolution forwards.
Nick, as someone who's used an Apple computer all my life, I have noticed that as time's gone on, Apple have been less and less keen on people getting inside their machines. Is that something that you've found at the repair cafes?
Well, yes, the great pentelope screwdriver, which you need to be able to open an Apple computer. And now they're making it, for instance, on an Apple computer, when you put down the top, it turns it off. Well, that little thing in there, if it goes wrong, basically your laptop is not working. But Apple won't give you the spare part to be able to fix that. So some clever people have designed one. So that's now, you're now able to repair that. But they are quite getting a hold of the spare parts. For instance, I have a friend who has got a MacBook that won't start, but she's been unable to find anybody to fix it. So she came to the repair cafe and we were able to pass her on to a shop that was able to then fix her machine for her. So I think Apple maybe sometimes ties people's hands, and particularly with their phones. But they are introducing a whole lot of, because of the pushing from the EU, you can now buy the components to fix an iPhone at 15, 12, and you get, so it's an actual credited Apple so that the fingerprint sensor will work, and you can then repair it yourself. And the videos that they give you are actually very good. And companies like iFixit, who have training, and you can buy spare parts from them, and they will actually show you how to do it. And it's a very step-by-step process, and hopefully that would encourage more people to actually do it themselves.
Can we look forward, Elliot, do you think, I know it's not part of your research, but can we look forward to companies like Apple coming back into the fold and allowing us into their machines?
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I think that pressure can come from lots of different angles. So there's obviously a big consumer element of, if enough people are, you know, potentially stopping buying Apple phones and moving towards things like, I think it's the Fair phone or the Nothing phone, which I can't remember which of the two it is, but that's a phone that it has entirely like modular elements, which, you know, if let's say your phone camera breaks, you can take it off, buy the new part for a lot cheaper than the phone, and then put it in. So if we get a lot more consumer pressure, I think there's potential that Apple and these companies would start to change. But as well, that will also come from a legislative point of view. So things like this EU thing I was mentioning and other potential schemes. I know sort of more recently that there's been a big push for phone companies to increase the number of years that they're providing software updates for. That's something I've been noticing. So I think it's the new Google Pixel. It can be, they'll give software updates an awful lot longer than lots of other phone companies. So I think there's pushes coming in all sorts of directions, and I'm quite hopeful that, give it a few years, we can make some brilliant progress on that.
Yes, well, that is obviously very good news. Before we go, Nick, can you tell people how they can get involved, either in West Central London Fixers, or if they're not from this part of town, what you search for when you're looking to get involved in repair culture?
On Everbrite, if you just put in Fixers, you'll see that there are lots of fixing cafes across London, and you can book in sessions for them. On our website, West Central Fixers, you can actually come in and have a look at what sessions we're doing.
And Elliot, you've been researching this now for some time. What have you found about how people can get involved in repair culture?
Yeah, so in terms of getting involved, I mean, the project hopefully, we're wrapping up now, but it'll be used as an internal council document, which will be shared with local London boroughs. So boroughs that weren't necessarily involved with the project can, have a look at our results and basically focus on where they can prioritise their efforts. So I think that's a really, really great way for different boroughs. You know, as I keep saying, that there's such diversity of the factors and potential routes and potential ways to fix things. You know, councils can put a lot more money into, you know, local professional repair services. They can fight more on the legislative front. They can invest more in local repair cafes. But, you know, they can't do everything. We want to tell them where to focus their efforts. And yeah, if you're interested more in the project specifically, as you mentioned, Alex Horn and Dr. Marco Arasico will be talking about it in the Great Exhibition Road Festival. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and you can get down there on Saturday the 15th of June, where there'll be a Portobello Radio. In fact, we'll be running the music stage, apart from anything else. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Nick, for coming by to see us.
Thank you very much, Elliot, Piers,
for sharing your work. And if you need any more details on where to go, just look at the front page of this podcast. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Portobello Talk Radio, the authentic voice of Ladbroke Grove.